few years ago, I worked at Oklahoma City University, which is the real OCU. That one up on Memorial Road is not really OCU. OCU is Oklahoma City University, founded in 1904. It's a Methodist school, too, and which is probably a lot sounder than the one up on Memorial Road, but at least as sound. Nevertheless, if you work in a school environment like that, in a university, they have a retirement plan that they call TIAA and CREF, the College Retirement Equities Fund, or Teachers Investment Annuity Association. And those professors and people who work there put a lot of money into that. You can put up to 18-20% of your income, and the school will match it up to a certain percent. And it's a good deal. I didn't work there long enough to get a real good deal out of it, but, you know, a little spending money maybe. But the point is, I heard a lot of those professors and those workers at that school at that time, they would say, oh, I'm putting in the max. I'm putting in as much as I can. I'm doing good. And then they get the report and say, look at this, how much I've got built up here. And what were they looking forward to? They're looking forward to retirement. They told, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with that? Well, this is going to provide me a good retirement. I'll make as much almost out of my retirement as I get working here. Well, that's great. So you're looking forward to that retirement. Oh, yeah. I'll be making pretty good. Well, then what are you going to do? Well, I'll have plenty of money to live on. And I'm working all this time, all these years. I'm going to spend putting my money into that. Well, then what? Well, then I'll retire. Well, then what? Well, I don't know. Guess I'll die. Then what? Remember the old beer commercial years ago? I won't say the name, don't want to advertise it. Say, grab all the gusto you can get. You only go around once in life. That, in a nutshell, is materialism. And this idea that we have to lay up for ourselves treasures upon the earth. And materialism is, as Dove just pointed out, it's humanism. Humanism is materialism. Materialism is consuming our society. The society in which we live is being eaten up with it. Materialism is, according to my Britannica World Language Dictionary, undue regard for material interests. Materialism stems from an overweening obsession with self. Humanism, self. Why do I want things? Why do I want material things? Self. I want to consume them on this body. That's what I want them for. That's what most people want them for. Well, so I can live in a nice house. So I can have this. So I can have that. The materialist. Now, we've defined materialism. It is an undue regard for material interest. The materialist is the one who practices that. He has such a regard for material things. He is defined as one who takes interest exclusively, chiefly, or excessively in the material or bodily necessities and comforts of life. And you know, the materialist is not necessarily involved so much with a concern about necessities either. Wants them luxuries, doesn't he? Next time you're watching television, be careful what channel you watch. You can't hardly even watch the networks anymore. They're so filthy. But I got to notice it on television one time, and we watched TV Land. You can watch that. They have the old programs. Andy Griffith, Gunsmoke, good nonviolent stuff. As you go to a break, watch the commercials. Have you ever noticed TV commercials? Start counting next time you watch and see how many of those advertise things that you absolutely need. You can't find them. What do they advertise? Advertising things you don't need, things we could actually live without. Hair color? I live without it. You know, a permanent wave. My wife used to say, well, I'm going to get a permanent. I said, no, you're getting a temporary. If it's permanent, you'd only need one of them. It's just a temporary. You can live without that, can't you? Some of these women go, no. A diet plan. I do live without those, you know. But you just look at all the things that are advertised. Mascara and lipstick and all this stuff. You know, you can live without those things. That's what they advertise on TV. How many billions of dollars in our society today are spent on things, just things we really don't need, things we could do without. You say, oh, I just couldn't do without. My wife heard someone a year or two ago, a woman. Now, this is typical of our materialistic society. She said, she was telling somebody, she said, oh, this hot weather. In western Oklahoma, gets hot. It starts warming up about 112 degrees. And this woman said, oh, this hot weather. Said, I get in my car and said, oh, that thing is hot. Said, I start that up. Said, you know, it's at least 2 or 3 minutes before it cools down. Some of these younger people are going, yeah, I have that problem. What if you didn't have an air conditioner? That's the way our society thinks. You know you can live without an air conditioner? You can have one of them 270s, you know, roll them two windows down, go 70 miles an hour. We used to travel at night. My dad drove at night because we didn't have air conditioners in cars. And in summertime, that was pleasant. The point I'm making is, we depend on and we think we have to have things. We have undue regard for things, but that is a material, that is an atheistic, humanistic philosophy. Materialism excludes God. It focuses on the things of this world. Our Savior said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning verse 19, you know this one, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What's Jesus saying? Don't amass any money. Don't worry about money. Our Lord knows we have need of things. There are certain things we need. There are three things we need. We need food, clothing, and shelter. That's what we need. Everything else is luxury. Our Lord knows we need those things. But he says that should not consume us. That should never consume the Christian. Shouldn't consume anybody, actually. Materialism is chiefly concerned with the things of this world, with amassing things. And so this has led our society further and further away from spiritual considerations. You know, we talk about back in the 30s and 40s and 50s when the church was growing, when people were being baptized, a little country church south of Elk City, in the early 1950s, when my grandfather was baptized, they baptized about 40 people in one gospel meeting. We can't get 40 people to come to a gospel meeting anymore. Why? Well, we're a lot richer than we used to be. We weren't that rich back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. We didn't have as many things. We didn't have computers and computer games and Nintendo and this and that and the other and CDs and DVDs and VCRs and CD-ROMs and all this alphabetical stuff we got today. We didn't have that. People were more interested in spiritual things than in things. Oh, you had your materialists then. Always have had. But by and large, people were more interested in spiritual things and spiritual matters. We need to reiterate and to sing the words of that old song. And I wish I had requested this. This would fit here in our singing. Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Let me tell you, earth holds no treasures but perish with using. There is not a thing that you possess upon this earth that's not going to perish. Not a thing that's not going to someday either be separated from you or perish. Oh, you may never lose those things to which you cling upon this earth, but someday you'll leave them. We will leave all that we have someday. And we will take with us all that we are someday. We have a little old house in Elk City where we live, and right next door we have a little house where my mother lives. And probably, I don't know, we'll probably die there. But that little old house we live in and the one my mother lives in, we're going to leave someday. They won't belong to us anymore. Furniture that we have is going to stay here or perish. But we'll be gone. I drove through the cemetery the other day, and I saw prominent people that I knew in Elk City when I was a very young child. I'm talking about rich folks in Elk City. And I drove through the cemetery, and I saw their graves. And I saw graves of my family. And you know how much land those rich folks have? Same amount of land my family has. Enough to bury them. That's how much land they got in that cemetery. Materialism is destroying our society. It's eating us up. It's pulling us away from spiritual considerations. You ladies go to garage sales. Go ahead and say it. You can admit it. See my wife and my daughter nodding their heads. Boy, they're proud of that. My son, Landy, who lives in New York City, said his wife, Erin, she loves garage sales. He said, you know, when Erin wanted to be a candidate for Miss Elk City, said, you know what her talent was? Memorizing all the garage sales in the Elk City Daily News. You go to garage sales. Why are we having garage sales? Did we have garage sales when people my age were... No. Didn't have garages, did we? No. People who are old men like David Watson, Doug McClish, Bill Lewis, old people. What did we do with the clothes we had when we were kids? Well, we wore them out, didn't we? And if we got a hole in the knee, what did we do? Did we put them in a garage sale? Did we cut them off? My mother patched them. And you kept wearing them. And you wore them till they were just, there wasn't nothing else to wear. You go to garage sales now, you can find more clothes in a garage sale than you can in a department store. Did you know that? Do you know you can't, I don't know in our town you can't, but in, I don't know how it is here, but in our town, you can't hardly sell clothes in a garage sale. You know why? People got too many. We got too many clothes. Why? We're rich. Don't tell me we're not rich. We are rich. I'm richer now than my folks ever were. I'm rich. I've got plenty to eat, as you can tell. I got a house to live in. I got an automobile to drive. I got clothes to wear. That makes me rich. garage sales are so full of toys now. Remember when you were a kid and you got one or two toys a year and you played with that toy till you absolutely wore it out and you protected it, you loved it, you slept with it, you put it under your bed, you wouldn't part with it? And now you go to garage sales and they have a toy department. Full over there. Mamas and daddies said, well, we're going to clean this out. We're going to have to get them some new ones. Throw this out. Sell it. Put it in a garage sale. Quarter piece. I've never seen so many toys. There's more toys in a garage sale than there used to be in the five and dime store at Elk City when I'd go in and look at them. And my mother would come along and go, you can't have any of them. Don't you be asking for any of them. What is that? Materialism. We're teaching that to our children, aren't we? Go to the store little Johnny or little Susie wants a toy? Well, sure, if you'll be nice, if you'll be quiet. Kids blackmail their folks. I'm going to scream. I'll throw a fit if I don't get a toy. And mom and daddy nowadays go, don't do that. We'll get you a toy if you'll be nice. Ooh, I never thought about threatening my folks that way. I might have done that one time, but that would have been it. What is that? That's materialism. We're training a generation of children. We've already trained one generation in materialism. We've already done that, maybe two. It just keeps going. Even moral precepts are cast aside today for material gain. We saw that in the elections of 1990 and 1994. Why? What was the old mantra there? The economy's good. Oh, I know Bill Clinton is a reprobate, but the economy's good. What are we thinking? Dr. Phil would say, what were you thinking? I'll tell you what we're thinking. We're thinking we don't care if we elect reprobates as long as the economy is good. That's materialistic thinking. When Americans in 1990 and 1994 elected a president whose morals do not quite measure up to those of an alley cat, they were saying, we don't care. If our president is a liar and a fornicator, we don't care. Why, the economy's good. We're concerned about things. Let me tell you, as far as I know, the economy's been good all my life. I've never gone without. Never gone hungry. My folks took care of me until I got old enough to get tossed out and take care of myself. Always had a job. Charlene didn't think I had a real good job sometimes, and I didn't. But she did without. We did without. And we made it. That first little old house we lived in Cache, Oklahoma, two rooms and a path. Great little old house. It's a mansion to us. Even had coal running water in the house. We was proud of that. Had to heat the water, but the cold water, we had running water. The economy's always been good, but what are people thinking? They're wanting more. More and more. The all-consuming issue in those elections, and in every election, you'll hear it this year, is the economy. That tells me a lot about our society, and it also ought to frighten anyone who believes in God, who believes God's moral laws mean what they say and say what they mean. That ought to frighten us. Mammon has become one of our chief national gods. Mammon. Money. Riches. Oh, we bow down to that god. Now, we have other gods. We're not a monotheistic society. We have other gods in our society. There's the god of choice. Just like ancient Molech, in whose arms those people sacrificed, burned to death their own babies. So our modern Molech is called choice. And we sacrifice and kill our own babies in the arms of the God of choice today because we're materialists. We want things. Mammon is one of our chief national gods. And as long as the economy is good, as long as old Mammon smiles on us, we don't care if our elected officials are reprobates. Materialism drove Judas to suicide. He was a materialist. He was covetous. He wanted money. Materialism, greed for things, drove Ananias and Sapphira to their deaths in Acts chapter 5. Their desire for things, their lust for money, that same lust for money still drives people in our age. And I want us to look at a Bible example. A Bible example of a materialist. You all are familiar with this story. Jesus' account of one he called a rich fool. In Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. He said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." People think that our lives consist of the abundance of things we possess. Oh, doesn't he live a rich, full life? Look at all this guy's got. Don't you know he must be happy? Jesus said, your life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things that you possess. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let me tell you, materialism is the complete antithesis of spiritualism. I'm not saying you can't be spiritual and spiritually minded and also mind the things of this world. Our Lord understands that we must have things to live here. But we must keep those things in perspective, that those things are for this life. They will not satisfy us for eternity. And those things are for this body. They are not for our souls. What I can touch and what I can smell and taste and feel hear and see, those things are not for my soul. Material things do not satisfy the soul. And that's what this man found out. This man whom God called a fool. Story has a little shock to it, doesn't it? God calls him a fool. You know, we're told not to call a brother in Christ a fool. We're not supposed to do that. But God calls this man a fool. And this man's a successful farmer. I'm not sure about what he farmed in Beckham County out where I live. Got some of them around there like that. Well, what am I going to do? Oh, man. Oh, it's terrible to be a farmer. They complain a lot. And then they have to build bigger barns. Now, I'm not against farmers. But that's the way a lot of farmers are today. This farmer was a fool. God called him that, but he didn't call him that flippantly or lightly. That wasn't God wasn't joking. There's a ring of positive anger, positive scorn. A terrible finality in that. God says unto him, thou fool. Thou fool. This night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be? Why was this man a fool? Well, it wasn't because he was rich. Now, there's nothing wrong with being rich. The Bible does not condemn being rich. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not the root of all evil. The love of money. This overweening desire for it. This willingness to substitute or to relegate everything to second place in order to gain things. Now, that's wrong. It wasn't because the man had money. The Bible never commends men because they're rich. And the Bible doesn't condemn people who are poor. The Apostle Paul says that the love of money is the root of all evil. They that will be rich fall into many different temptations, he says. Divers temptations. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Charge them that they, if they want to be rich in this world, that they be careful about those things. Money in itself is not evil. It can be used for good or it can be used for evil. That's like television. Television is not good or evil. It depends on how we use it. The printed page is not good or evil. It depends on how we use it. Some people print pornography. Brother Dove prints the Gospel Journal. You see, it's the use we make of it. Now, this man was condemned and called a fool not because he obtained his wealth dishonestly. It doesn't say he was a dishonest man. It says the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He went out and sowed his crop, and God blessed him. He was an honest man in the way he made his living. And it wasn't the fact that he sought to save what he had made, that God called him a fool. That wasn't the reason. The Bible doesn't teach against saving. In fact, there's no virtue in being wasteful. The Bible, if anything, it teaches us not to waste. The prodigal son, we're told in Luke 15, wasted his substance. And in John, the 6th chapter, after Jesus had fed the multitude, he told his disciples, you gather up the fragments, let's don't be wasteful. The Bible teaches us not to be wasteful. That's a sin of many of us, though. We may not be as that prodigal. We may not waste our substance, but we're not investing our lives and our substance in the best way, in the best possible way that we can. Over in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 2, Isaiah asks this question, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. What he's saying is we're spending our money on the wrong things. There's nothing wrong with having money, but we need to spend our money on the right things. This man, this rich man, reckoned without God. He was a materialist. There's no God. Man is the measure of all things. He's the humanist. So, I've got all these goods. What am I going to do? I'm going to spend them on myself. He reckoned without God. He lived as if there were no God. Many people today who attend worship regularly and even in churches of Christ are really atheists in heart. They're materialists, they're humanists because they reckon without God. Now, we know this man was a materialist and atheist because we're allowed to look at his heart. He thought within himself, well, what shall I do? And then he reasoned, well, here's what I'll do. And we can look at a man's heart and know what kind of person he is, can't we? It's what the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23:7. Take a look at that rich man's heart and see if it's not like a lot of people today. What shall I do? What shall I do? Verse 17. What shall I do? Verse 18, this will I do. Verse 18, my barns build greater, my fruits, my goods, woo, I'm rich. Do you see God anywhere in here? What did he say? Mine? What shall I do? Where's God? God's not in here. He didn't have a sense of divine ownership. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, Psalm 24:1 says. The world and they that dwell therein belongs to the Lord. We ought to be understand that we are stewards of that which we possess. He didn't have a sense of divine ownership. Note, if you look at that, and you probably read this and noted this, how many times did he use the possessive pronoun in his thoughts? The pronoun I or my. Well, I wrote it down, unless I'm mistaken. He used it 11 times. Now, what we're talking about here is verses 17 through 21. Actually, verses 17 through 19. How many times did he use I or my? 11 times. He used I 6 times and he used my 11 times. In just a very short passage there. He didn't have any sense of divine ownership. Let me tell you, brethren, we may possess it, but it's not ours. Not ours to keep. You ask those people who invested in their retirement in Enron. They were rich folks there for a while, weren't they? And today they're not rich folks. I know a preacher out in the panhandle of Texas who told me just a couple of weeks ago, he said, I used to work for Enron. I said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, yeah, I lost a lot of money. Because we have it doesn't mean we're going to keep it. This man had no gratitude. It's what materialists do today. We have no gratitude when we say, look what I have, and I'm going to do this, and I, and my, and thus, and so. He didn't recognize that it came from God. The giver is forgotten here in this gift. God gave him that. God blessed his land and his crops, and that which should have brought him nearer to God only separated him further from it. Why? Because he put his trust in those things. He didn't look beyond that and see where it came from. He was a materialist. Didn't have any gratitude. Men today are like it. If we're not thankful, we're fools. He didn't have a sense of obligation. Notice what he says here. He says, where shall I bestow my goods, my fruits? I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I don't have any place to put them. What am I going to do with this? That's false. He did have a place to put them. There's always the poor. There's always the widow. I knew a lady who was a very rich lady. She got her priorities mixed up, thinking that by sending young men to college, she was doing the Lord's work. That was a shame. I've known people who think that by sending young people to camp or college, they're doing the Lord's work. They don't give so that the gospel can be preached by the local congregation, but they spend their money on things that actually do not profit. There are places we can put our money in the Lord's work. And then the man says, I can do what I please with what is mine. This is mine. I can do what I please with it. Well, that's not a statement for a Christian to make, because the Christian pleases God. I need to please the Lord. I need to do with what I have And let me tell you, I'm not just talking about rich folks here. Did you know that some of the most covetous, greedy people in the world are those who really don't have much of anything at all? We can all fall into that category of being a materialist. This man trusted in things. It's not wrong to provide for our few short years here. In fact, we should. Paul said, if any will not work, neither should he eat. If any man provide not for his own, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We ought to work. We ought to work to provide for ourselves. The Apostle Paul worked to provide the necessities of his life while he preached the gospel. He made tents. We ought to work. But it is wrong to work thinking that this is it and not preparing for eternity. A man's life, Jesus said, consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. This man was treating his immortal soul as though it were an animal. Listen to what he says. Now, this is probably the most ridiculous statement in here. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Soul, eat, drink, and be merry. The soul cannot be satisfied with material things. The soul cannot be purchased with material things. If that were true, the Sultan of Brunei is a saved man and he's eternally blessed. The soul cannot be saved and cannot be satisfied with material things. And this man says, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You listen to his words addressed here to his soul, and you will understand why God said, thou fool. We have to look at ourselves. And let me tell you, Christians can be materialists, and there are Christians who are materialists. And there may be some in this congregation. I don't know. But I know Christians can be materialists. We can rely upon things. But we have to look at ourselves as God sees us. Listen to God say to this man, thou fool. You're a fool. Anyone who relies on material things is a fool. Man says, and this man said, thou hast much goods laid up for how long? Many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. What did God say? This night, your soul's required of you. We never know when we're going to leave what we have. I may leave what I have before I get back home. You may leave what you have before this lectureship is over. We don't know. So don't say we have many years. This man said, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. Nourish your soul. And God says, sorry, but your soul this night is required of thee. Are we rich toward God? We ought to be. Are we rich in faith? Those are the things that last. The soul cannot be satisfied with material things. Are we rich toward God? Rich in faith, rich in good works, rich in gratitude. Those are the things in which we ought to be rich. You have to say, I'll do this. I'll yield myself to God. Recognize Him as the owner of all things. And I will give my all to Him. I quit trusting in the things of this world. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And follow in His steps day by day. My friends, it has been said, and I think we mentioned it earlier, when we come to the end of life, we're going to leave behind all that we have. We came into this world with nothing materially, and we will carry nothing materially out of it.